You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Don. We're on. This is good board.
Great.
Right. Thank you, boys, as they leave. Now, this is sport, Don. I wanted to mention about this was sort of sport. I don't care what anyone says. Whatever. The man Babbage got 8 months jail for crossing the border to go and watch the grand final. I don't care what... That is the most disgraceful piece of sentencing that you would give a person who crossed the border, who crossed the lines against the COVID guidelines. Did you get 8 months jail for that?
He only has to serve three, I think.
What a joke.
But also he's got to face charges in Northern Territory.
That's right.
For false name. Now, if you give a false name...
Oh, how many people that protest and march up the streets here on any given topic give false names, wreck things, set fire to things, break the COVID rules, and you give a bloke 8 months.
How did they get their tickets to get into the functions? That's what I want to know. Babbage and...
Yeah, and Burbank.
Burbank. How did they get tickets to get
into
those
areas? I meant Burbank. Mr. Burbank got 8 months. Did I say Babbage? He was part of it. Who gave him the tickets and on what basis did they know that they were there illegally? That's another thing that will be swept
exactly
under the carpet.
Right.
And I rang the solicitor in Western Australia, a man called... Andrew Tehan, who was handling Mr. Burbank, and he was very wary about who I was. He said, I don't speak to the media, while I was speaking to him. And I said, well, I was just asking, did you think it was manifestly unjust, the 8 months? That is ridiculous. And he said, I'm not commenting on that. And I said, well, you handle Mr. Burbank, don't you? He said, I do, but I am, but there's another solicitor in Darwin also handling him. So he's got two solicitors on the go. And he, didn't give me any information about where it was, but he took the call. So we were just trying to find out where it was and where it was up to and would he have to face the same charges in Darwin? And if so, would they be concurrent? Would he have to serve them concurrently? And what would be the fine? Fair dinkum, couldn't you give a suspended sentence to someone and give them a heavy fine, 8 months jail for going across the border? What a joke.
3 months and then they'll have to face charges.
Tippy little country we're living in. You've got to be joking.
Also, doesn't it have a reflection on their businesses as well?
No, it has a reflection on everything.
No, with regard to holding liquor licensing. And
of course.
Also the other's a financial planner.
And then all the do-gooders got on, said they should lose all their memberships to all the clubs they belong to and all the institutions. And seriously, offending them. It wouldn't be so bad if... on a daily basis, people break the COVID rules. It's just a joke. It is, honestly, and as we just mentioned before, the state government firing rubber bullets at people. you can't believe where we've got to. No, it's I thought sport.
Listen, getting on to sport. Did you happen to watch the women's cricket?
No, I happened not to.
Okay. Did you watch the Matildas play soccer Saturday and
no,
last
I
night?
Happened not to, Don.
Okay.
So fill us in.
Well, I just think in both sports, the women really have improved. The cricket is really interesting to watch, and so is the soccer. Last night, they're world class. And it just went through my mind as to why I think internationally women are better than men in Australia. As far as sport goes.
Yep. Okay.
The men leave a lot to be desired. They're just nowhere near up to what the women are achieving internationally in the sporting field.
Good. That's good.
And I would also like to pose a question. Could I just pose a question? Tony Jewell, we were working and we had a discussion at lunchtime.
Bonding in lunch, was it?
Beg your pardon?
Bonding lunch?
A bonding lunch. Yes, it was, Johnny. Why is it in cricket that they can now switch hit? You know, you can face up with, if you're right-handed, you can face up right-hand, turn and, you know, turn and face the left-handed, or you can switch hit. Why can't the bowler bowl with his other hand, non-dominant hand?
Because no one in the world would be ambidextrous enough.
That's right. But if they were taught, John, now in our sport, which was Australian rules football, you're taught from an early age to handball both left and right hand.
It's a bit different.
And foot, left and right foot. Even in the ruck, you know, you're taught you should be ambidextrous.
A bit different.
But in cricket, you just play with your dominant side the whole time. You throw with the right hand, you bat with your right hand, and you bowl with your dominant hand.
Yes.
Why can't they take it a little bit further and learn to bowl both hands?
Well, you'd have to do that from an early age.
Early age.
And there's a tennis player that serves, plays left and right handed.
I was just going to go on and say there are other sports, and you've brought one up, tennis as well. Yeah. Why can't you change hands?
Well, you can. There's a player that does that, and he serves to the ad court with his left hand, and he serves to the juice court with his right hand, and he always has people reaching because of the way he swings the ball. But it is a very difficult thing. You'd have to start at a very early age.
Well, they do.
It's like throwing left-handed.
Well, in tennis, the players are taught from an early age. They pick a racket up at 4 years old and they start hitting the ball.
It's like pitching in baseball. Don people,
well, there you go.
Pitchers
there's another
throw
sport.
Their arm out.
Well, there's
so
another
if you
sport.
Could reduce the stress on your one side of your body
so
by 50% by throwing with either hand or arm, it would be...
In other words, there's a lot of sports that could be improved, isn't there?
Yes, a lot. A lot of sports that could be improved. Now, I did find out you were asking about Johnny Get Angry. That's Dennis Pagan's horse. And you said, why isn't it running in the Melbourne?
Okay, come on, get on to it. So give me the answer, please.
Well, he said it is running in the Melbourne Cup.
I know it is now.
He said its form had been indifferent.
Yes.
But this is due to my phone conversation I had that I did instead of you ringing him. And he said that he had asked Lachlan King.
The jockey.
That's correct, Don. I think he is going to ride it. And he got a second opinion from Damien Oliver. He said the best jockey in Australia. Is Damien Oliver ahead of that
Jamie Carr
woman?
Well, I mean, Jamie Carr had a rear... Well,
she running in the cup?
Listen, I'll take my hat off to every jockey that rides. I think they're incredible athletes.
Anyhow, he got a second opinion from Damien Oliver, and Damien Oliver said, I'd run him in the cup. So, Johnny Get Angry...
Why would he run him in the cup?
Johnny Get Angry is running in the Melbourne Cup.
Okay, why would Damien Oliver say that?
Because he thinks, I have no idea, but he said...
Well, you should have asked.
Dennis Pagan said Johnny B. Angry's form had been indifferent, but he was not sure whether to run him in the cup, and Damien Oliver said he thinks he should.
Did he tell you anything about the vet checks?
He didn't say anything else because I didn't know what I was asking him. I said, I'm ringing on behalf of Don Scott.
Well, you should be asking these things.
And he said, why didn't Don Scott ring me? I said, I don't know, Dennis, but I'm...
Well, you control the podcast. I was just putting it up, and I would have asked him these questions if you had allowed him to come on the phone.
So
also, talking about women, what about the lady that swam the channel 45 times, the Australian girl?
45 times?
She's now set the record. Oh. She's gone across there 45 times.
Mm-hmm.
It's old news, but still 2 weeks ago, but what a terrific effort.
Yeah.
No, 45 times.
And they swim it over and then swim back on the same...
No, she didn't do it consecutively. She's done it over a period of time.
She wouldn't have done it 45 times, but they do swim over and then swim back consecutively.
Just incredible. I can't swim a stroke.
Well, no. So there is a book out, Donald, called The Commentators, written by a bloke called Michael Chiavello, and he has got...
Chiavello.
This is one of those list things. There's a list of all the famous sports commentators around the world for ice hockey, for basketball, for racing, for golf. And there is a top 10 of sports calls. And Bill Collins is one of them when he... Remember the race between... And this is all international sports commentators.
Can I... Have a go at this.
Yes.
Was it Strawberry Road?
No.
Wasn't Strawberry
Road. No. It was the Cox Plate match race.
I know. Wasn't Strawberry Road in
it? No.
Who was it?
It was Bone Crusher.
Yes,
and
that's right.
Our
Waverley Star.
Our Waverley Star. Oh, yeah. And Bill Collins at the end, there was a lot of other horses in it, but it got down to a match race in the end. And Bill is in the top 10 of sports calls in the world, as I understand it from this book, which I'm reading, called The Commentators. And we might get Michael Schiavello in here to speak about how he researches all this. When Bill Collins said, and I'm doing this from memory, and Bone Crusher wins races into equine
immortality
and also $1.5 million or something. But he said equine immortality is there with one of the great calls of all time. There was another simple call when Jack Nicklaus, and that was a 1986 Cox Plate.
Do you think he rehearsed the line, Bill Collins?
So now, this is what this book is about. Do commentators, all the great commentators in all sports, have a rehearsed line ready?
Some of the ones that I work with do. And they have it written down.
They do.
And they wait for that moment.
That is, and he thinks that Bill Collins, I'm not sure if Bill Collins conceded that he did, but I'm sure Bill Collins would have had races into equine immortality, but would have changed it to Our Waverley Star or Bone Crusher, depending on who won. And plenty of people do have predetermined lines to speak, waiting for the moment. One of them was not predetermined, but just the simple two words when Jack Nicklaus put, when he won his Masters in 1986, when he was 52 or 53 years of age, and he put a putt in on the par 3 16th hole, and the commentator, who I don't know his name, said, as the putt went in, said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Yes, sir." Those two words are considered to be one of the great calls because Jack mouthed that himself. When he put the putt in, you could see him say, "Yes, sir." And the commentator picked it up and said, "Yes, sir." Simple things like that, Don. Now, my point of bringing this up is, how would you quantify who fits into the top 10 calls? Because there's plenty of English soccer calls. There's World Cup soccer calls and goals. It is a subjective thing, getting on to subjective things. And I notice this is another list. Remember we did the list of the top 50 coolest neighbourhoods in the world, and Richmond was number 10. Number 10, Richmond was. But there's another list out of top media performers. How subjective would that be?
In Australia or world?
No, in Australia. In football.
Oh, hang on.
Australian rules football.
Football media commentators.
Media people, yes. Oh. It's significant, I'm not sure.
And where was this published?
Well, I
you don't know, and no, who compiled it? You don't know.
Well, I do know. I'll find it out.
While you're finding, read the names out as you go. Who's number one? No, we'll start at 10.
No, we won't start at 10.
Why?
Why?
Here's a pregnant pause.
No, well, you put me on the spot. Gary Lyon is number one. He is the number one. By her, I don't know who did this, incidentally. I can't tell you. I should know that, shouldn't I? They say Gary Lyon is the number one sports media AFL personality person. And number 50, how'd you be?
50? They've rated
50. Oh, I didn't know there were 50 people doing it. And number 50 is...
I didn't.
Number 50 is...
That many commentators.
Glenn McFarlane, he's number 50. So Glenn's got just 49 spots to make up for the next year.
But one is in the speaking.
I don't know, mate. And it's one is a journal. One of those,
in the
it's print. Like the top 50 footballers. We've got the top 50 commentators. Yeah, no, I just thought I'd bring it up, Don, because how would you quantify any of that
nonsense?
Listen,
have you ever thought of... Can I bring to... I don't know if you want to discuss this... People who have got ability but never realise their true ability in the sporting field.
I mean, God-given talent.
God-given talent. Could I mention two that are topical at the moment?
Yes.
And there have been others who they've got predecessors. Ben Simmons.
Yes.
And...
Yes, Ben Simmons. who's been fined $2 million.
Well, it was Mark Philippoussis.
Yes.
And also Kyrgios.
Yes.
Now, they're just three that come to mind. There'll be a lot of others that have or had unbelievable...
Gary mates. Ablett Sr.?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
I was just thinking about that.
What
one.
Did he have?
But those guys, those three that I mentioned, I just think they're abusing the talent that they had.
Oh, well,
what
like
do you think
Gary
holding
Ablett didn't
them back?
Abuse his talent.
Well, you know, I'd have to think on that one, but those are three that I've thought of, and there could be others.
Yes, so where's this headed, Doc?
Well, where it headed is, do you think they'll look back in years to come and say, I wish I'd done X, Y, Z and capitalised more on what I had? Or will they have regrets in years to come?
Well, this is...
Have you got regrets?
Absolutely not.
You have, in your sporting field.
Probably meeting you as one
no,
of
No, you're smarter.
No, I haven't got any regrets.
No, because you applied yourself in all ways and you've got no regrets. And you know, I know that. So why aren't more people who are given this God-given unique talent capitalised?
We had this discussion once before about Kyrgios. And the other boy, what's the other boy's name?
Ben Simmons?
The other tennis player.
Mark Philippoussis.
No, along with Kyrgios.
Tomic.
Yes. Bernard Tomic?
Bernard Tomic.
We remember having this discussion. Someone said, oh, he didn't try and he... And I said, why criticise him for not trying? If he doesn't want to try... That's up to him. If he doesn't want to get the best out of himself, if he doesn't try, the authorities will say you didn't try, they'll suspend him, they'll fine him, they'll run him out of the tournaments. It's up to... You can't tell someone how they should behave or how they... You can tell them how they should behave, but you can't will them to train hard, to be the best they can. If they want to just cruise along and be in the top 50 and earn a good living like Mark Philippoussis did, who had extreme talent but probably didn't do as much as he could with it, that's up to him, Don. If you don't want to do it, you can't force people to do it, and they pay or suffer the consequences if they don't want to do it, either by showing that they're not trying or they're not giving it their full value, or they're just happy to be mediocre.
What about in the football field? Do you think anybody... One comes to mind, as far as I'm concerned, Phil Carman. Do you think he capitalised on his ability?
It's a little different with team sport, because if you don't give it your best shot in team sport, it's a reflection on the people you play with, because they're busting their gut. Good point. You're not. This is why I get down to Gary Ablett Sr., who was just an immense talent and would inspire the people he played with, but in my opinion, prevailed and succeeded on nothing more than God-given talent. And I use the term God advisedly, Don. I don't think he was a great trainer, and I don't think he took it.
No, he didn't train at all. He could come down to pre-season training and blow them away
in
sprinting and throwing the medicine ball, whatever.
It was innate. Yeah. It was in him, and nothing that anyone said to him made any difference at all. He was unique, as opposed to his son, who worked his ring off, bottom off, to be as good as he was. But so you can't have a blueprint for what people demand of you, Don.
Listen, the other night, I know this is not sport. Can we just digress a little bit? I'm into YouTube at the moment and Netflix, because I don't consider there's much to watch on free-to-air television. But I did a channel flick the other night, and a show came on, and I couldn't... I had to stop. Two girls were kissing. It's called The Bachelorette. Bachelorette, I think it is.
Yes.
And I did my channel and I stopped. I saw two ladies kissing. Then that segment passed. I was not in a state of shock, but I was interested. And then a man comes along. Now, I made some inquiries. Now, this lady that's on The Bachelorette, she's bisexual. Now, is this a first in the world that they have? And also, she's Indigenous, so I suppose they've covered all bases. But is this a first in the world? Are they trying something different, or Has television standards dropped, or is this the norm now? Am I out of touch?
So you're saying that on The Bachelorette there was an Aboriginal bisexual...
Well, Indigenous.
So that's Aboriginal?
Well, yes.
What's that?
Yes, you're right.
Have I said that wrong?
Okay, don't be smart.
I'm not being smart. I said Aboriginal as...
Yeah, go on.
It's an Aboriginal bisexual woman who is on The Bachelorette and what has... men and women suitors, yes. Does she?
Yes.
He?
Yes.
She? Yes. Does she?
And she's made, apparently, she makes a choice.
So the station, whoever runs it, what channel?
I don't know. I can't tell you because I was doing a flick.
Whatever the channel is that puts that to air have decided that they will try and embrace enlightenment and inclusion and diversity by putting on a Aboriginal bisexual woman on to try and garner viewers. And I would suggest, while you've been talking, I've Googled this, it had the lowest ratings of any, I'll just read this out while you've been Googling. It says, The Bachelorette has been a turn-off so far for viewers. The show premiered on Channel 10 with 390,000 viewers, and last night it was 345, trying to break new ground by bisexual First Nations woman as its hero. And that's fine if you want to try and go.
So hang on, have the ratings dropped on?
Yes, they've been a disaster. So it's been a disaster. But whether that's because The Bachelorette... I'm just reading this, whether that's because as a result of The Bachelorette dropping off in popularity anyhow, or people turning off because they don't want to watch Aboriginal, bisexual women or any women or any of those subjects, the conservative audience probably have turned off because in the main, we don't care what you do or what you say, and just like we're discussing this as a topical interest point, we probably won't get into trouble like we did discussing what Nikki Winmar was on about, because this is a perfectly legitimate thing to discuss, whether people are interested in watching bisexual women, Aboriginal women, any women, Chinese women, Australian women, Caucasian women, are they genuinely interested in watching men and women try and... curry favour with bisexual people? Do the average family who sit down to watch that, are they conservative enough just to not take this as entertainment? And that but is the conundrum.
There's another reality show, I think it's called SAS. They have, I think Dane Beams is on something as well. The past sporting heroes, yes, or celebrities... Mm. Is it a cathartic experience for them to come out on these shows and explain?
Isn't Shane Warne's son on it?
I don't know. I'm just posing the question. Is it a Jackson? Why do people do it? Is it for the money? Why is it? Is it a cathartic experience for them to lay everything out on the table of what's happened in the past on a reality show.
The people who create these shows think that this is about viewers, this is about ratings. So they think that the SAS people going in and having ex-football stars, and I think Shane Warne's son Jackson's on it, they create interest and people tune in. Like the people who do The Bachelorette think that we'll put an Aboriginal bisexual woman on and have different suitors try and chat to her and curry favour with her.
But why do they promote?
Because they think that will attract...
But aren't they taking advantage of the people, these people?
The people
behind the shows, aren't they taking advantage of these people?
But that's not the fault of the people on the show. If you get approached...
No, but it's the fault of the people behind the show.
That's correct. So they have run the gauntlet and thought that this would be a good thing to do, to have, I'll say it again, doesn't matter what the race of the person is, but
who holds them accountable?
But who holds them accountable are the viewers who, if they turn off, the show will get cancelled or the sponsors will drop off because not enough people are watching it. And that is what apparently is happening with The Bachelorette at the minute. Whether The Bachelorette's popularity is dropping off anyhow or it is because they've gone down this road of being inclusive and diverse and trying to be edgy with things that the general public are not happy or relaxed about, that's a decision that they make. And as it turns out, it apparently is not succeeding. Now, I'm only just reading. I don't watch it. I haven't watched it. I don't know who's on it. I don't know anything about it. But you brought it up, and while you were doing it, I Googled, or it came up on the machine here. It just said that it wasn't really being successful, and that's either as a result of people not comfortable with all that nonsense. Well, they think it's nonsense. Whether the people putting the show on, don't blame the people on it, because if you, Don, got asked to go up to if someone said to you, Don, would you come up, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, go up into the jungles of Borneo and camp out there for a month, and would you do that?
Well, number one, I wouldn't be asked.
No.
Number two, have you been asked?
Sort of, but...
What do you mean sort of?
Hang on a minute, Don. My point is if you are asked, they would think that, oh, well, we'll get Don Scott on hypothetically and this will attract viewers and they'll want to see how Don acts because we've heard him and we know he played football. They will bank on the fact that you would be a draw card. Now, whether you go on it or not, whether you get asked to go on it, it's not your fault. Like the people who get asked to go on these shows, it's not their fault. If they're asked, they probably come to a financial deal or an arrangement with them. They say, yeah, I'll come on, give us this amount of money. And if they asked you, Don, to go on, okay. I'm a celebrity.
You've got a high media profile. Have you been asked?
I was approached.
Okay, and why didn't you go ahead with it?
Because they didn't go on with it.
Who didn't? They didn't or you didn't?
Well, they asked, would I be interested in it?
And you said what?
And I said, well, it all depends. What do you think it all depended on?
Well, it
just all depended on, A, what they wanted me to do, when it was, and what would the remuneration be. Then they asked me a series of questions about, do I like being on the outdoors? And I said, not really. I said, do you like spiders? I said, not really. He said, do you like snakes? And said, not really. Do you like bush tucker? I said, not really. Are you interested in camping out a lot and meeting people you don't know? I said, not really. And they said, well, you sound perfect for the show. And I said, oh, well, good on you. So it never got down to discussing anything about finance or anything like that. So the person who was acting on my behalf, it was Jacinta, they contacted her and they said, thank you very much for being part of the process, but we've decided not to go on with that. So that's fine. So I was asked is the thing.
Okay.
Yes. Now
I might ask you next week about demisexual. I saw that word.
What's a demisexual?
Yeah, so you might be able to research.
What about cisgender?
No, could you find out about demisexual for me, please?
Well, cisgender is another thing. I noticed people who are living in a... Oh, I won't go on with it. So that's the sport. So it's in there. Finally, just the Hawthorne Football Club, Don, you said is ramping up to a new high. There is a cavalcade of people trying to unseat Jeff. Well, is that correct or not?
Well, there's a bit of a problem down there. Number one, I was told this. I didn't receive. And the Hawthorne Football Club have got to get their database up to some type of scratch or efficiency because I never received a letter or email, and a lot of other people are exactly in the same boat. So you could be members are ill-informed or not informed, but there are, I think, six candidates.
Well, there you are. They're ramping up
for two positions.
Well, that's
the
healthy.
Last election was in the late 80s, and that was Leon Rice. I cannot remember an election at Hawthorne because usually they're conscripted onto the board, co-opted onto the board, and they go to the election.
Well, anyhow, this is healthy, Don, that there's six people trying to unseat the incumbent too, and this is democracy at its best because they're pissed off with the way Hawthorne are going.
Well, I think they're more pissed off with the president Well, the common denominator is a president, but what they don't realise, they get two new people go onto the board, the president is elected separately to the board.
Yeah, well, you're pissed off at the president. I'm not sure that everyone else is.
No. Hey, whoa. The others are too.
Ah, well, that's why they're standing. And if they're if enough people
so
are pissed off
at the
president.
So what are they going to do once they get on the board? They'll do absolutely nothing because the president is a separate issue to the committee.
Well, someone votes the president on or off.
No, the members vote the president on.
All right,
on.
Well, if the members think that the six...
And he has a three-year term.
Well, and the members, that's democracy at work.
Reflect on what you say about this is a Mickey Mouse competition.
Yes,
AFL football, because what does a football club own? It doesn't own its colours.
Yes,
and it doesn't own its emblem, yet it has members... who run an organisation. It's ridiculous. The competition is not fair.
So what a great segue to the person we're about to interview. He is the person we're about to interview, could tell us all about sport, all about the machinations of sport and its politics. He can speak about politics. He can speak about a whole lot of things because he is our next guest and he might cover all those things that you've asked, and he'll be on shortly.
Back again. I'm just crazy about you, baby.